Well, it's been a while.
It has been a while. It's always been a while.
I know.
We take too long in between these.
It's because we have busy lives.
Yeah.
If we can do this full time, would that be amazing?
That would be amazing. Maybe after the holidays, maybe we'll get in here somewhere. I don't know. We're always busy.
If it's not one thing, it's another.
Mm-hmm. Chestnuts roasting. So the news is still crazy every day. We can't even comment on anything because by the time we comment on it, it's like on to the next crazy,
insane thing. Since we've been out for a while.
Yeah. I mean, a lot has happened.
A lot's happened. I mean, we got to get caught up.
Yeah. Well, there was that shooting in public in New York.
The CEO.
That Brian Thompson,
the CEO of
United Healthcare.
That's kind of crazy. You know, I was actually following that for a little bit.
I was following it, too.
And there's some loopholes in there that kind of I'm still scratching my head on.
What?
You know, first of all, his motives are kind of weird right now. I mean, until they fully come out.
Well, it seems like, as soon as that happened, I feel like everybody said, oh, I know what happened there. You know what I mean? I get the motive.
Do you?
Well, like, you can understand why. Whenever that happened, I'm like, I bet it was somebody who had an extremely bad experience.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
100%. I'm like, here we go. Somebody got denied. You know, then they appealed, and they got it denied again, and they lost a loved one, and they snapped. That's what I thought.
That's what I thought, too. I think that's what most people thought, and probably still think.
And here it comes out to somebody who has, well, as far as we know, no ties with anything, and just doesn't like the way the system works.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so he had in his, like, manifesto or whatever,
yeah,
which...
Yeah, like a three-page
at least it's been attributed to him. It does say something about his mother's experience with healthcare, and then his own, he had to get back surgery, mm-hmm. and he hasn't been the same since or whatever. So it does seem like that's what it is on the surface. But there's stuff going on.
Yeah, but it's not like it was dramatic like we thought. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I thought there was, like, something that caused this person to snap.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they lost a loved one or a child because, you know, let's face it, healthcare is not the greatest thing in the world in this country.
Yeah.
You know, they'll deny you for any reason whatsoever. You know, and, you know, so that's what I was thinking. I'm like, okay, if this happens, now we're going to open up Pandora's box because now everybody's going
to
snap.
Yeah, I went on to a video and it was talking about how some company is screwing people over and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I opened up the comments. First comment is, what's the CEO's name? And I was like, oh, shit, we're on this. This is what we're doing now?
That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, because this is going to be like vigilantes all over. But, you know, another thing that kind of threw me off when I was reading that, you know, that when that Brian Thompson, is it Thompson or Thomas?
Yeah, Thompson.
Thompson. You know, he was in New York. He's not from New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's from, what, Minnesota?
He was there for a convention. Mm-hmm. So obviously this guy had to have known that this guy was going to be there.
Yeah.
So somebody had to tip him off that he was going to be there.
Right.
So that's the whole part I keep going back to.
I mean, he could have been, like, stalking him online. I'm sure there are ways you can get that information. Yeah. But
I don't know. Like, I don't ever put online that, hey, I'm going to so-and-so convention this week.
Right, yeah.
And then maybe he did. You know, maybe he did. I didn't look into any of that.
Well, another theory is that he was supposed to testify in some kind of insider trading, you know, court case or something, and that this Luigi guy was just a patsy and somebody was hired to kill him so he wouldn't testify, you know, but who knows?
Who knows?
There's not enough evidence.
The conspiracy theories will reign.
Always, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of threw caution to the wind when I just read that, that he literally went to New York. Because if he wanted to kill this man, he could have just went to, was it Minnesota?
Yeah.
He's from Wisconsin, right? I can't remember. Minnesota?
I think it was Minnesota. I think Wisconsin was that other CEO.
Yeah, I'm getting them both confused now.
Yeah.
He could have just went there and did it. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I thought that was a little bit of a, you know, there needs to be more clarification on that one.
Mm-hmm.
As to, you know, why did he go to New York to do it there and not somewhere else? And why did he just pick him?
And that's true. I mean, there's so many.
And if
other...
he was really distraught about the healthcare system, he could have just picked anybody.
Mm-hmm. But it was definitely targeted.
He was targeted. Mm-hmm. He targeted him. Yeah.
What about that Wisconsin guy?
That's what I'm thinking of. Is that Wisconsin? Is that the kayak guy?
No, so the Wisconsin...
Where's the kayak guy?
What kayak guy?
The guy who made himself disappear.
The guy who faked his death?
Yes. Is he from Wisconsin?
I think that was Wisconsin.
What's going on in Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
The Midwest is...
What is going on up there?
Falling apart. But yeah, that guy faked his death. And that's whenever I was talking to you about it, and Charity was like, that guy faked his death. And I'm like, Brian Thompson? He's faking it? I didn't know what she was talking about. And I was like, oh, there was another guy that faked his death like that we just found out about. So did he turn himself in?
Eventually he turned himself in because he left a paper trail.
And he left he faked his own death.
So yes, what he did is he went up to, I can't remember the name of the county, but he went up to the lake with his kayak and made it look like he was fishing. He took his kayak out with his pole and his tackle, and he made it look like it capsized, and he drowned. But he had another inflatable boat with him, which took him back to shore. Genius. So he left everything there.
Okay.
Then he jumped his happy ass on a little electric bike and started driving, like, towards Milwaukee, Chicago, made his way all the way up to the Canadian border.
Well, did it work? Like, did they think he was dead?
Well, here's the crazy part. So he gets to the Canadian border, and all he has is his passport.
Yeah.
Because he left his ID in his wallet to make it look like he drowned in the lake.
Yeah.
Because that was his whole idea. He wanted to sell his own death. That was the whole thing. So he gets to the border, and the Border Patrol is like, that's just kind of suspicious.
Why you don't have a driver's license. Yeah, right.
You know, so I don't know why they didn't detain him right there, but somehow...
He made it through.
He talked his way through it.
Okay, so now he's in Canada.
He's in Canada. So then he goes to the airport, buys it.
Well, wait. When he goes through the border using his own name and his own passport...
Which is going to come back to bite him in the ass.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't know how you do that. He should have prepared a little more.
Yeah, he got a little stupid on that. So he did all this craziness because he watched too many movies is probably what he did.
And then just used his own passport.
And then used his own passport like a dumbass.
Yeah. You're supposed to be dead.
Supposed to be dead, exactly. So obviously we know that he's going to get flagged.
Okay.
So he goes through. He gets on a plane to Paris, I believe. That's where he buys a flight ticket. Again, using his pass.
Whatever they said, it must be a really big deal for him to fake his own death and leave the country and leave his kids. He had a wife and kids.
All to go meet some woman.
Is that what, that's all it was?
It was all about
I should have known. I should have just guessed that.
Yeah. And he ended up going to Paris. He flew into Paris, called up some girl. She met him. They shacked up in a hotel for a couple days. I think he was trying to go to Georgia because he didn't want to get sent back to the United States if they caught him.
Like, through extradition?
Yes.
For what? What was he running from?
The only thing I think is, like, insurance fraud. His wife turns him in for the insurance. He died. You know, I don't know. Was he in debt up to his ass? I have no idea.
Maybe. But, like, I mean, imagine that. It's like, I have, you know, my wife and three kids. Here, you can cash in on my life insurance policy. I'm out of here. But he was lying to them, too.
He lied to his wife and his kids.
Just to go...
They had no idea.
Get a Russian hooker.
He was dead. Just imagine. His poor kids and his wife are distraught.
Yeah.
Because they think this man he died.
And then he's found in a hotel room with a hooker.
I can only think that's what she was. I don't know. Mail order bride, something.
Yeah. Somebody who he's paying it's a lot of money.
He got scammed. That's the whole problem. He got scammed. He lost his money. He had nowhere else to go. They eventually caught him.
And he's been charged now with...
Well, yeah, because his passport got flagged. So they were like, wait a minute.
Like once when he crossed into Canada, and then again when he went to
several
Paris.
Days later, this would pop up.
Yeah.
You know, when they started investigating it and doing a trail, why was your flag or your passport flagged going into Canada? You're supposed to be dead.
It's funny, though, because if he really wanted to, I mean, I think he was a well-off guy. I mean, he could have just divorced his wife.
Maybe she wanted to leave her with the money.
I don't know.
Okay, this is my way out. She'll have money. She'll be taken care of.
Right.
I'm going to go shack up with this amazing hot ass.
Right.
You know, mail order prostitute. I don't know what she was.
They should have just let him go. They should have just spied on him and let it go as long as it could, just to see what he does. You know, he does that for 6 months, and then what? He's like, well, now what do I do?
Well, they traced him. He must have left a really bad paper trail. Obviously, he's not good at this.
Yeah.
Obviously, he faked the first part. To a point where they're like, okay, this guy's
he's missing at least.
He's probably dead. There's something there. Like, he faked that part pretty good.
And then
he messed everything else up.
He didn't think it any further than that. As soon as he got on that electric bike, he was like...
He was done.
Like, I don't know what to do next.
So they traced him all the way back. He opened up a bank account in
his
country.
Own
using his passport.
Yeah.
You know, switching over to foreign currency. They traced him back to the hotel. They sent him an email saying, hey, you're busted. We know.
Yeah.
And then at that point, he said, you know what? He threw his hands up.
Jig is up.
I'm done.
You got me.
I'm done. He also said the woman he left wasn't who she thought she was, so he ended up eventually turning himself
in. Catfished.
Yeah. That's why I said he got catfished. Either he got catfished.
All of that. Fake your death. Leave your wife and kids. Fly to Paris. Catfish.
You know what happened? He met this woman. Maybe she was hot as hell.
Okay.
And he was like, oh my God, this is the woman of my dreams. They went to the hotel. She knocked his ass out, stole all his money, woke up the next day, pants down, money gone.
How much you pay me?
Yeah. You bitches.
What an unlucky guy, man. It all came crashing down on him. All for some...
So he gives himself up. He goes back to the United States where his wife files divorce.
Yeah.
In full custody for the children.
Right.
Basically which says you're a piece of shit.
Well, I think that's what he wanted all along.
Well.
No wife, no kids.
He got it now.
Yeah, there you go. Be careful what you wish for. Right.
You dumbass.
I haven't seen anybody defending this guy, though. Sometimes you just got to fake your death and go to Paris. Everybody.
I want to see. I want them to show the picture of the girl he left for.
That's true.
I haven't seen that yet.
We do need to see that.
I need to see that. I need to dig that up.
Yeah.
And see if we can't find it. Because that is definitely worth looking at. Like, what would make you fake your own
death? I swear to God, if I find her, I'll try to get her to Skype in the podcast so we can interview her and be like, what were you doing to this guy? Yeah. You know, like,
she's like,
how much was he paying you? I have so many questions.
Oh, you know, catfished big 101. Yeah. Poor guy. Well, his life's over.
Yeah. He deserves
it. He'd have to leave the country. Now he would have to leave the country
right.
or somewhere because people are going to know who he is. Be maybe. Like, you're a moron.
Yeah.
God bless America. Only in the United States.
Only in America.
Can you fake your death and fuck it up?
Yeah.
That right there is proof that people watch too much TV.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, it's just one guy.
How many movies have you watched that you've seen that scenario?
Yeah, well, I feel like I could pull it off. You know what I mean? I'm like that.
Really?
When I watch a movie where I'm like...
I can do that.
I'm like, yeah,
I can do that.
You see where he messed up. Well, obviously, he used his own passport. Me? I would never.
No.
I know what I'm doing.
I'm like, my whole thing was, is if I did that and I faked my own death, why the hell am I going to the border to show my passport?
Yeah.
It's not like you can't sneak into Canada.
Yeah, sneak into Canada, sneak into, I'd sneak into Mexico or something.
I mean, you can easily just walk right across the border anywhere in Canada.
Yeah.
And go to a town.
And then also, you have to have some kind of plan for...
You could have got on a boat.
True, yeah.
Not a plane.
His little inflatable boat. Take it over to...
I guarantee you could have stashed yourself on Normandy. Some cargo plane. Or true, not cargo plane, but cargo something. Boat. And went across there. You know, half those people
you
don't
even
know what's going on.
You could have paid off some guy.
Exactly. Here's a bunch of money. Don't say nothing. Let me get on your boat.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot. See, we could do it. We're smart.
We can do it. Where's that the Russian beach at?
Yeah. You're like, tell me what he did again.
What else is going on in the world?
Well...
What about them drones in Jersey?
You know...
You hear about those?
I've been hearing about it. I didn't dive into it because my thought was, that's just our government doing some shady shit. It's not aliens.
I 100% agree with you.
And I don't think it's another country.
It's not. Stop and think about that one. How can it be another country? Flying over a military installation. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, like
here's how much 0%... Here it is. 0% chance that's going to happen.
Well, they're saying we don't know what it is. That, like... One of those guys, I could look it up if you want, but he came out and said, well, no, we're not aware. We're not familiar. We don't know where they came from. We don't know what they are.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell they don't know. Yeah.
Deniability.
Well, what do you think they're doing?
They're probably testing something.
Yeah.
Probably testing a new technology. That's what they do.
It's also so much coordinated. So many.
Correct.
Like one person.
And to fly a drone in the United States anyways, anything that weighs over a half a pound has to be registered with the FAA.
Really?
Yes.
Shit. So I had no idea.
Yeah, so they can track it. So then anything, I can't remember what that's called, FAI, I don't know. It's some kind of tracking thing that they use.
Okay. That makes sense. Because I got a drone, and it's light and very tiny from China, you know.
Yeah, I think it's like 0.55 pounds or more or something like that, which is a lot.
That's interesting, yeah.
Something. The government or the military doesn't follow FAA law.
Of course, yeah.
They're not regulated by the FAA. They may follow it. To an extent because they fly in some of their airspace, but they don't have to say anything to those guys of what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that's why nobody would know what's going on. I just don't know. I just think it's common sense that that's what they're doing.
Well, a lot of people said it was... the weird thing was is that it started... It's obviously not aliens because they wouldn't use drones, but that was like a big theory when it first started happening. And there was this guy, Cliff High, I think his name is, and he made a web... or like a computer program back in like the 90s that he's been using for years and years and years. And he uses it as like a predictive tool, like an algorithmic, where he'll put in data and it'll spit stuff out of basically to try to predict what's going to happen in the future. And, you know, there plenty of people have done that, but and they're all like pretty much random. It seems like anyway. Mm-hmm. But he was able to interpret from the data that he got back in his program, like predictive linguistics, that... if this event happens, and he got this in 2009, that if an event happens, there will be an alien invasion where UFOs will be fighting humans and each other. So, obviously, crazy. But the trigger for that event will be an interview with Joe Rogan and Donald Trump. And 39 days after that event, if that event happens, the alien invasion will happen. So, of course, like, the internet was freaking out about it. Like, was this prediction accurate? And I emailed the guy, because I couldn't find a source on, like, what. But I emailed that Cliff High guy. And I was like, can you just confirm if this is true? Like, did you really predict it? Can you provide me, like, some kind of evidence that it happened? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, it really happened. And he gave me a couple links. But there was no original source of, like, proving that in 2009 that that's what he was able to predict. Which I think, I mean, that's the kind of thing where it spits out data at you and you can kind of interpret it any way you want. So obviously he's going to, like, be like, oh, this could be... You know, it's like a prophecy where you're like,
you can talking about in Nostradamus.
Yeah, you can interpret it any way you want. So that's what it is, basically. But it was cool. And I was like, there's maybe a 0.001% chance that that thing is accurate. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to think about. Because then when the alien things, people started saying, oh, the drones, they're aliens. I was like, man, it was like on the same day that that prediction thing. I was like, what if it's real? It's obviously not.
You know, they actually took a picture of something and blew it up. It looks like a helicopter to me.
Yeah, you think so?
I mean... I'm looking at the shape of it, and I'm like, man, if that's not a helicopter, I don't know what the hell is.
The one that I saw was definitely a drone, but there's been so many, you know?
I don't think what a lot of people understand is that the military is 15, 20 years ahead of modern technology.
I feel like most people understand that.
I don't think they do.
They are, and you'll hear stories from people about the stuff that they'll talk about stuff they had in the 80s that I'm like, holy shit, we barely have that now. Just weird things like retinal scans and stuff, which...
like stealth technology and all that stuff was coming out in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, stealth technology. Yeah, that was like back in the 60s, right?
And then, we just found out about it. But what's funny is a lot of those, like, science fiction movies or spy movies and stuff, I'm wondering if they had a source in, like, because you know the CIA has a Hollywood budget. Like, they have a budget to put towards movies and stuff, and they have, Hollywood consultants. Mm-hmm. So, like, if somebody wants to make a spy movie... they'll get involved. And I wonder if they can, like, if they push certain narratives and information of, like, because you'll hear about technologies in a James Bond movie that we didn't know existed then, but it turns out it did. And nobody knew about it. So I'm wondering how the guy that made the movie, how do they know about it?
Exactly. You know? I always like when they make, if you look at old science fiction movies and, like, that stuff happens now.
Yeah. I like that too. I like seeing that.
You're like, how do they see that?
Yeah. Either it's just, I mean, it could be art imitating life or life imitating art. It could be like Steve Jobs was like watching Star Trek. He's like, man, let's do that.
Yeah.
So it could be that, or it could just be it was some kind of technology that we already had some version of that we just didn't know about.
But yeah, it's pretty wild. What's going on with that Pokemon book right there? That's new this
what's
week.
Going on with your stuff over there?
You like that, huh?
Yeah, I like this vibe. It's a little, you know, a little more chill. Low light.
Mood lighting.
But yeah, we were talking, because we mentioned last time, you said you were going to go through all your stuff.
So, yeah, I don't even know what we were talking about it.
But you mentioned that you had a bunch, and I was like, man, you got to start looking through those, see if they're worth anything, all these old comics.
So I had, and I have more down here, I mean, I have boxes of them, of old comics, and...
Which you just got, you're not like so much of a collector or anything, you just kind of had them from when you bought them when you were younger.
And so
you...
when I was younger... I love comics because I like to draw. I would draw comics. I would read comics.
Yeah.
And I liked it, but I was also into sports. So the more and more I got into sports, the less and less I started reading about comics, but I always liked comics. Mm-hmm. And then when I went into the military, one of my friends actually got me hooked on it because I needed something to do to pass the time when it was just me by myself. And you're in a dorm and you're like going out of your mind because, you know, you got to kill some time.
Before cell phones.
Yeah, we didn't have cell phones. You know? Right. We can do all that. So I remember my friend's like, hey, man, check out this new comic that I got. And he showed me it. It was really cool because Spawn is basically about a military person who makes a pact with the devil because he wants to see his wife again.
Yeah.
And then he gets screwed over and then the whole thing just kicks off. So I was like, cool. So I started reading it and I got intrigued. And then I just started buying them.
Mm-hmm.
But I would buy one to read, and I would buy the other, and I would never touch it.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's smart. Yeah.
So I put it away. So I have two of each one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I did it. And then, of course...
So did you think or know that they could be worth something, or did you just...
Well, I've always run into people who was like, you gotta, you know, I collect comics, and I always thought that was stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're like, okay, whatever, dude.
Well, yeah, comics, now,
you know, this is dumb.
Now it's like paying off.
And then my buddy's like, no, dude, seriously, you should just put one aside and just leave it there. And he was like, maybe one day they'll be worth something. If they're mm-hmm. not, throw them away. And I was like, okay. So I did that. And, you know, of course, the more and more my career took off, obviously the less I started getting doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I took all those comics and I stuck them in a bin, and I always took them with me. I never got rid of them.
Yeah.
I just moved them in from one place to another. And I just remember that one day we were talking and I was like, you know, I have these old comic books upstairs underneath my bed that had been sitting there for like,
I mean,
20 some years.
They're in good condition too.
Yeah. And then I opened them up and I started going through them, and yeah, they're like mint quality. I mean, these ones here have never been read, because I bought them and I put them in the containers.
I don't know about the whole grading process, but you should probably get them graded. Can't hurt, you know? I don't know how much it costs, though. But also, you said that, you know, your wife was like, what are you doing? Comics? Are you crazy? And then you're like, hey, this one's worth $300.
That's exactly what she did. I was like, I just looked this one up. It says worth $300. She was like, what?
Now I'm interested.
Now she's interested.
Well, that was, like, Allie's the same way with the Pokemon cards. I started going through a bunch of them, and I'm like, I can see what these are worth. So I went through a lot of them, and I had some that were worth something, and I, you know, put them up for sale online. And she was like, how are those worth anything? They're cardboard. It's just a piece of mm-hmm. cardstock. And I'm like, some of them are worth a shitload of money.
Yeah. Now I'm going down a rabbit hole. I have different versions of comic books. Not just,
well, yeah, they have the alternate covers and the special edition,
like,
stuff.
I have Spawn. I got G.I. Joe. I also have The Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I have Transformers. I have Wetworks. Remember I was telling you about the Wetworks?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think those were worth anything, but...
Well, some of those ones, like, there's a little spin-off side mm-hmm. character that you buy an issue thinking, like, oh, I'd like to see what this mm-hmm. is, and then it doesn't take off for... Then they make a movie 20 years later, and it's like, oh, shit, all of a sudden this side character is important, mm-hmm. you know?
And I have no idea why I kept them. I just did. Mm-hmm. I just... Every time I was done with them, I just put them in a box or whatever, and I just kept them. It was kind of weird. Like, I never threw them away, or I never trashed them. I mean, Christ, look at some of these ones. Like, this is from 85. That's just how well I've kept them. I have a lot of G.I. Joe comic books. I got a lot of Spawn. I got a lot more. I just grabbed a handful and threw them out there for the hell of it. And those aren't even the most expensive ones. That's why I didn't put the most expensive ones out.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want them to fall.
Yeah, true.
Or anything. But, you know, like, for example, like, that one's worth, like, $200. That one's worth, like, $100, another $100. That one's like 150. This one's usually around 80, 50, 70, somewhere around there.
Damn. And that's just, I mean, that's like without knowing, I guess, in good condition.
I just do middle grade because I don't know what they are.
I don't know
if they go high or low.
Right.
Obviously, if they grade higher, they're worth more. But that's when I started getting into it. I started going down this rabbit hole. And then I was like talking to this one person who's like a comic nerd.
Hmm.
And he was like, dude, let me see these pics. And I showed him. He's like, oh my God, you have that. I was like, I've had it for 30 some years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. I got like these here. These are all the cards mm-hmm. from whenever I was a kid. Like, they're all the like original when Pokemon first came out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're worth something now. But I was a kid, so I didn't take care of them. So none of them are in like mint condition. But I still mm-hmm. have them, you know, so that's nice. But there's like a big difference between a PSA 5 and a PSA 10. There's like, can be $2,000 worth of difference there. It could be worth nothing or a lot. And all of mine are like mm-hmm. not great condition.
But. Well, I was looking at that, even with the comic books. I was looking at the grading system, like a 9.2, a 9.4, a 9.6, a 9.8, just how much money that jumps between just those slight variances. And I'm just like, holy crap.
And you also wonder, like, who's grading it? Can we trust these people? You know what I mean? Can I just pay off some guy to be like, give it a 10?
Well, the company got busted.
Oh, really?
I was reading about that. One of the comic companies, I don't know what the hell they're called, PSX or something like that.
PSA is one of the grading companies. And then there's like a couple
other
big ones.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
They got busted because they certified a forged comic book and said it was a grade 10. And here it was a forgery.
Wow.
So basically, ever since they've done that, their
word means less now.
So everybody kind of like sticks their nose up at them,
right?
You know, in the diehard comic guys. There's I don't even know how many people are actually into collecting comics. I mean, it's like a whole cult.
Oh yeah, no, it's huge.
That's huge.
Yeah,
Like, I've been to Comic-Con before. Like, when I was out in California.
San Diego.
I went out to San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. I actually met the creator of Spawn.
McFarlane?
McFarlane, yeah. In 98.
Oh, that's cool.
Todd McFarlane. In the 90s, Comic-Con isn't anywhere near as big as it is now.
Yeah.
So even when I went there, I just remember there was like 40 or 50,000 people there. Now there's like 3, 4, 500,000 people mm-hmm. there. You know, that's just how much it's grown.
Yeah.
How crazy it is.
It is crazy. I mean, Pittsburgh has a pretty big scene, mm-hmm. too, of like cons. They have Steel City Con and stuff that they have. I mean, it's more, a little more focused on movies, but there's still mm-hmm. a lot of comic book collectors and stuff yeah. there. But it's, yeah, that's pretty cool.
So now I'm like, I'm going down this rabbit hole. I'm like, but should I start finishing my collection?
See, that's tough, because you're like, I was thinking the same thing. I was looking on eBay. I was trying to, like, sell some cards, and then I came across one, and I'm like, well, I kind of want to buy that one. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I'm not here to buy more. I'm here to, you know what I mean? I'm not here to spend money. I'm here to see if I can make any money.
I mean, I could probably sell a couple of these.
Well, if,
like I said, I got duplicates.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can make some cash and turn that in and buy the ones I'm missing or something. Right.
Well, if you can complete a set or something.
That's, but I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah.
Because when you go back and you look at some of these comic books, like, for example, you can look at a comic book back in, I don't know, I'm just using this for example, back in the 80s, and, you know, obviously issue one is worth some money, and mm-hmm. then issue two is worth nothing.
Yeah.
And it's really weird. And then,
it is weird.
But, but down the road, for some reason, issue 20 is worth a whole crap load of money.
Well, it'll be like, yeah, issue 15, somebody made an appearance, or yeah. there's a typo, or like anything. It could be yeah. like...
And it's worth a whole bunch of money, but
right.
then 30 other comic books are worth
are not.
10 We're, cents.
Right. Yeah. It is weird.
I didn't know Spawn was that big.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when well, I started the 90s...
They're supposed to be doing another movie, right?
Because it was... Yeah, it's supposed to come out in 25 or 26. Jamie Foxx is supposed to play Spawn.
Oh, that could be really good
yeah.
or bad.
So we'll see.
But I like him. I mean, I hope it's good. Because who was that guy? Was it Michael Jai White or whatever? Isn't that his name? The guy who played the last Spawn?
Yeah, something like that.
And mm-hmm. that, I mean, even that, like, that movie was kind of over the top and kind of corny. And
it was
and,
definitely corny, but I still was, watched it.
Yeah, I watched yeah. it too. Well, if they are coming out with another movie, then the value's probably going to jump on those, you know?
Yeah, especially if they spin off characters
mm-hmm.
and they become big, like this girl right here. Her. That's yeah. That's Angela.
So if they bring her into the movie or, you know, into the universe, then... Yeah.
So, well, she's a spinoff already.
Mm-hmm.
I think she went over to DC Comics now, I believe. I don't know. I didn't follow everything. But that is supposed to be the half-sister of Thor.
Okay.
That's who she is.
So it's one of those characters that if they bring her into the movies, you mm-hmm. know, then it's like all of a sudden...
And that's a prime example of, like, some of those comic books like those. Like, you can have... obviously, comic book number one is worth money, and I have mm-hmm. three different versions of this one. This is actually the least expensive one. And then I have the newsstand version, which is more than that. This is a director's cut. Newsstand oh, okay. version is worth more. And then I have a misprint.
Oh, okay.
Which cool. is worth a silly amount of money.
Which is, yeah, it's funny that that's worth more than, like, you know. Yeah.
And then, like, two, three, and four, they're worth some money, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to number nine, and it's worth like $80, $90 in mid-grade condition and a couple hundred dollars if it's in excellent condition. So it's just weird how that does that. And well, when I look through the whole entire Spawn thing, because there's like, I don't know, I stopped at like 300, 400, I don't know where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll see low prints, like 11,000 prints of a comic book, and they're like $800, $900.
Oh,
and
really?
They're not even that old. They're only like a handful of years old.
Hmm.
But they're such low print. That they're worth silly yeah. amounts of money. But yeah, I was literally reading, just not that, but just other lines, and I would just find, oh, if you have this comic version, the lettering is blue instead of green, that it's worth
mm-hmm.
10 times as much
exactly.
as this one.
Yeah.
And you're just, I'm like, wow, I didn't know all that. Yeah. Now I'm educating myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you got to look through them all. Like, I don't know if you have yet, but see if any of yours have one of those.
Yeah. I haven't. I just, like I said, I only started with those ones. I haven't even got to the Spider-Man.
I gotta look yet. Up. I'm gonna have to pull this out. I have to look up if these are worth anything. You should probably recognize them because they're older than me. Ooh. This guy.
Oh, I have those.
You do you still?
I have them all.
We have this.
Yeah, I have the originals.
We should put our.
Oh. What are you doing? You can't make them fall like that.
We gotta put. We got to put our collections together, see if we can... I don't know if they're worth it. You'd think they would be worth something.
They still are.
Yeah.
Even if they're out of the box. I actually have I believe, and I have to confirm this, I have to go to my parents' house and look, but I believe I have one of the Holy Grail ones.
Yeah, well, definitely, you'll find that.
It was the little Jawa, was it?
Jawa?
Jawa, mm-hmm. But he doesn't have the cloth, he has the plastic
cloak. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be the very super rare one. Yeah.
Yeah. These are cool.
But yeah, I have all mine. I have the Lightspeeder, I have the Millennium Falcon, I have all of them.
See, now is the time you got to pull those back out. And if your mom threw them away...
No, she didn't. She says they're still in the attic. I just have never gone and... I was like, Mom, are they still up here? She's like, yep, anytime you want them, come get them. She kept them.
You have to. You should get... I'd love to look through those with you just to see, mm-hmm. See what's in there.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff is... The stuff you wouldn't think would be worth anything.
I got the Lightspeeder. I got, I got them all.
Yeah.
X-Wing Fighter.
Do you have any that are still in the box? Like, did you keep...
Hell no, you're a kid.
Yeah, okay.
I was a kid. I played with all that stuff. Right. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, but those toys, with my Tonka toys, I have the Tonka mm-hmm. toys too, old Tonka trucks.
The old heavy-duty ones? Yes.
For whatever reason, my mother put those in a box when I was done playing with them, and then she just stuck them in the attic, and that's where they've been ever since. And I've never seen them again. I mean, I know where they are.
My dad used to collect a lot of baseball cards and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and he had a shitload of them. From the 60s mm-hmm. and 70s, and then he went away to college, and his mom tossed mm-hmm. them all, and he came home, and he's like, what the fuck? And because he would have held on to mm-hmm. those, and if he had them now, they'd be worth a shitload of money. Because, like, the cards, as far as, like, sports cards go, if they're from the 90s, which is what, like, mine are, they're not worth anything. Because
unless they're misprints and things
like that. Right. They've just printed so many.
Tons of them.
In the 90s that it's, like, the saturated market.
Because
but, like,
I think that's when the Crave started kicking in.
Like, so they just...
And people went and bought boxes of them and never opened them. Like mm-hmm. about 10 boxes of, 91 Scores or 91 Donruss or whatever, and so on and so on. I just stuck them in a closet somewhere. And then, like, everybody had them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and the ones that are older, they're also, they don't hold up as well because they have, like, that, it's almost like paper back on it.
They break down and fade.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, here, I'll show you. I have baseball cards as well as I can.
Oh, shit.
I have all kinds.
I've never seen those.
Check this one out.
Oh, wow. Jim Langer.
That's a $200.
See, that's what I'm talking
about. That's a $200 card right there.
Yeah, this thing.
It's 1975.
Let's see if I can... You'll have to get a picture of that or something. Yeah. But yeah, I have a couple like this, but none of them are worth anything.
I mean, I have tons of baseball cards and stuff that I collected when I was kids that I still have.
1975.
Yep, 1975. I got lots of them.
I could just sit here and look at them.
Yeah, here's a whole set.
All day.
There's a whole set. Nice. When I was a kid, I just kept them. Like, I didn't... Never got rid of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff's 35, 40 years old.
Right.
I'm old.
Yeah, you're lucky that... Well, the one that you kept that stuff, because... Mm-hmm. And also that your parents didn't throw it away, the stuff that they have in mm-hmm. the attic.
I remember my dad, a long time ago, he would tell me, like, keep the cards, keep stuff nice. They might be worth something one day. You never know. And, of course, I wish I would have kept my old, and I never did, but I used to have all the original Transformers,
mm-hmm.
When they first came out, but those are long gone.
Well, you would never think, like, try to think of that now, like, because there's going to be something.
I had Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah.
You know how much that dude's worth?
Really?
It's a stupid amount of money. The original Stretch Armstrong.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to try to rip him in half. I tried to stretch him so hard.
That's why he's worth something now, because there's none left. They all got ripped apart. There is something now. Like, try to imagine what there could be now that in 15 years, something that's coming out today is going to be worth something in 15 years. It's so hard to predict, like, what's going to be.
Especially now.
You see, like, Beanie Babies, and there still is a collector's market, and there still is a group of people that... But Beanie Babies did not blow up like it was supposed
to.
No.
There's only a handful of them that are actually worth money.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, the original
10.
OJ
Simpson. Yeah. Ones like that, those stuff.
Like, the original 10, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and I remember that craze, because it was a phenomenon. Like, it was everybody was in it.
It was like the whole conceit behind it mm-hmm. was like, these are going to be worth something someday.
They fell for it.
Yeah. Which, that's crazy, because, like...
What a marketing genius.
It worked, yeah.
Because they sold millions of them things.
Mm-hmm.
And they still sell them.
Yeah, they do. And they had so many different kinds, too. They're like, you have to get the Tiger Woods or the Princess Di. I remember those ones.
I remember the bears. You had to have a bear. the Bears were the most pristine because there were certain limited editions of them, and the Shamrock Bear and this Bear and the Care Bear.
I had some of those. I think my sister still has some.
Yeah, I remember all those.
Just like in her closet, she has a handful of them. But what about today? You know, is there anything you can think of that might end up being one of those items? I don't even know. I mean, like Hot Wheels, but that's another thing that, like, there's not much that are worth anything, you know, unless it's like a limited O.J. Simpson Bronco.
Something. I guess there's a huge collectors of Matchbox cars.
That's true,
like, there's a huge thing of that. Like, I go to a lot of Parts-O-Ramas to buy parts for my cars and things like that, and they're all
They always have.
And there's a guy who has, like, hundreds of them. And I'm like, what is the big deal with these things? You know, but apparently there's a huge collecting or following.
Yeah, there is.
I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah, I've seen people at, like, I went to, like, a community garage sale once, and somebody just had a big cardboard box full of old Matchbox cars, and there's, like, three adult men, like, sifting through and looking, and I'm like, you guys look ridiculous. But I bet, you know, there's a possibility they could find one that's going to make them a bunch of money. So
that's what it all is, finding that diamond in the rough. I think that's what it is.
And it's also, like, obviously, the person who's selling it, they have no idea it's worth anything. So you, like, you find one that's worth $1,000, you're
like,
hey.
To me, I always think that's a shyster move. I mean, I understand it.
Yeah.
But to me, I think what if I was looking for comic books, and this guy had a comic book that was worth $20,000, and they were selling it for 10 cents bucks? Because they had no idea what it was worth. Like, I would feel like a complete asshole.
No. Oh, here's 10 cents. Give me that thing. That's what you do. Unless, like,
I'd be like, man, listen, I need to tell you this. Like, this thing's worth some money. I still want to buy it from you.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what to do in that situation. I'd stand there for 10 minutes being like, should I pay the actual price?
Or she may say, a lot of them might just say, I don't care. You know, just, you can have it. I have no use for it, whatever. Or thank you for telling me or whatever. But I don't know. I would feel guilty if I
did that. I guess so.
Some people don't. Some people, that's what they live for. Like, they have no remorse whatsoever. They're like, give me it. I got it. It's mine. You didn't know. Screw you.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so anybody's wondering what this is, that's called our hot sauce challenge that you plan on doing in the next episode.
Yeah.
It's going to be called the hot shot challenge.
Hot shots.
Hot shots.
I like hot shots.
Hot shots.
So explain it.
So basically what we're going to do is we're going to go through the levels of hot sauce to see how much we can do. But there's a shot of liquor that goes with it. So I'm still trying to figure out if we should do the hot sauce, take the shot, and go on to the next one, or only take the shot when we think our mouths are too hot.
I'm not sure either. And if anybody wants to leave a comment or a suggestion about it, because we're trying to figure out the rules to it, I don't know if we have to go through each hot sauce, and the only drink that you're allowed to have is liquor.
That's it.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, the only thing you're allowed to drink to take the sting out of your tongue is liquor.
But I don't know if
make it worse.
If you should have to take a shot, because then it's also like, well, what if I can get through all 11 without taking a shot of liquor? And I'm like, that's no fun.
I'm saying. I think it would be more challenging to take
the
hot sauce, whatever we're going to put it on.
Yeah,
and then followed by a shot.
Each and every
There's
one?
There's 11 of them.
Well, do you have 11 different shots?
Does it have to be 11 different varieties of alcohol? Why can't it be the same thing?
It could be, but imagine if we did 11 different shots to
no,
pair with.
No, because we wouldn't make it through the episode.
Just mixing everything together. No, I would do that. If we did one shot for every hot sauce, we would probably we'd be down here for a while. I'm spending the night for sure. I'm not driving home.
Definitely. I mean, give us your suggestions. I'm curious to know this, like some of the rules of what we can do with this. It's definitely going to happen. Either we're going to take a shot, do the hot sauce, take a shot, or do the hot sauce and only take the shot when you can't or when you need it. I don't know how to explain that.
Well, the way I look at it is you have to go through all the hot sauce, and the only thing you're allowed to drink is liquor.
So, if you went through one and it wasn't that hot, you don't have to take a shot.
Skip it. Yeah.
If you went to two and it was hot and you needed to cool off, or you needed something to get the hot out of your mouth, take a shot.
I think, honestly, for it to be a real...
I think a shot after every one.
Challenge, yeah. I also feel like we should try to get somebody else in on it. But I don't know anybody who would think that's funny or want to do it. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's why it would be called the Hot Shot Challenge.
So you and I can do it, and then we can...
You have to have 11 different hot sauces.
We can invite somebody.
The 11 shots that follow it.
Okay.
Either you make it to the end or you don't.
All right.
Either I'm it's going to be too hot or you're going to get...
And what do we... Can we do...
Or the first one who pukes, you're out.
That's true. Yeah. That's disqualifying. Those are your rules.
You're automatically disqualified if you puke.
Or if you can't finish.
Or you can't finish.
Or if you pass out.
Yeah. If you puke or pass out, you're done.
Okay.
Automatic disqualification.
This is going to be tough.
What happens if you tap out? There's got to be a consequence if you tap out. Again, this is where we need everybody's suggestions. Like, what happens if you tap out?
Something embarrassing.
Yeah, definitely put a comment in there.
Because it's got to be something that makes me not want to tap out. It's got to be something bad.
It's got to be something bad. I mean, let's not get too crazy. But it's got to be something that you don't want to do.
Right.
Yeah. You know? We want to get this thing hammered out before we do the first one. And then, who knows? Maybe it'll be a thing.
Yeah. We'll be the first hot sauce show on the internet. What's the joke? There's a lot
of... No, there's not. We're going to be the first hot shot.
Hot shots, yeah. We'll do our own thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. All right, well, thank you, guys. We'll check in again before the new year.
Yeah. Until then, peace out.
Peace out. Bullets full of cases from my teeth. I got the powder falling out from my nose down to my feet. I'm unimpressed. Use your discretion.